Moral compass. Have you ever gotten lost? It's a terrible feeling, isn't it? You're traveling an unclear path, not certain what's ahead and if it's going to get you safely to your destination. You stumble along, hoping you'll come across someone who can guide your way or a signpost that will show you the right direction. I remember John and I traveling on a roadway in an attempt to find a small town we needed to get to. As we kept going, the area around us became more and more remote and rural. Then our petrol gauge started to dip dangerously low. Next, we noticed these ginormous spiders on the road. Yes, I said spiders that would have easily been the size of dinner plates. We began to wonder if we'd driven into an alternative universe. Finally, with miles behind us and nothing certain ahead, we decided to turn around and go back. We were clearly not getting any closer to our destination, and the journey had long since lost its adventure and turned from uncertain to scary. Life can be like that sometimes. We have a clear destination in mind, but as we head out, that path we've taken isn't getting us to our intended goal. We've taken unexpected twists and turns and found ourselves in a place we never imagined we'd get to. And now that we're there, we're not certain how to return or recover the time, the resources, or the dignity we've lost. Perhaps if we'd had a compass to guide us, a tool to show us the way, we wouldn't have gotten lost in the first place. That's what the compass is supposed to do for us, those seemingly magical little instruments with a spinning dial that's able to point north. A site on compasses explains it this way. A compass needle aligns itself and points towards the top of Earth's magnetic field, giving explorers and lost souls a consistent sense of direction. Yet a compass, no matter how well designed, doesn't always point true north. Not only is the magnetic North Pole about 1,000 miles south of true north in Canada, it's always moving and over the last century has actually shifted about 1,000 kilometers towards Siberia, of all places, causing navigators to even be more thrown off if they are depending on its guidance for accuracy. Just as an actual compass isn't a foolproof tool of navigation, sometimes our moral compasses can get us off track. A moral compass refers to a person's ability to judge what is right and wrong and act accordingly. Another source explains it as an internalized set of values and objectives that can guide a person with regard to ethical behavior and decision-making. A moral compass certainly sounds like a perfect guide to direct us safely to a morally sound and upright goal. If they were as easy to obtain as a physical compass, even understanding their limitations, we'd be able to pick them up at any sporting goods or hardware store for mere pocket change. But as we can clearly see from our society around us and our own daily challenges in making the right decisions, obtaining a moral compass can be extremely difficult. The author of an article in Psychology Today declared that although he didn't view our society as largely immoral, he did see it as amoral, lacking a clear compass or foundational guide. He went on to explain that many emerging adults understand little on how to develop a moral compass, embracing the notion of moral relativism, deciding what's right at the moment in order to gain personal pleasure or satisfaction. Although he bemoaned the loss of a moral compass or guide, he had admitted that organized religion, in his mind, had left him wanting as it didn't stand up against the rigors of modern science. Knowledge of the world pitted against the wisdom of God and his magnificent character. I believe the Bible has something to say about such a conclusion, as we see in Paul's advice to the Romans. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. To the Corinthians, Paul wrote this: "Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. Jesus Christ is adamant. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? How then do we develop a moral compass? Steve Wood, president and CEO of Work Opportunities Unlimited, explains it this way. When I think about a moral compass, I think about a set of personal values that guide our decision making. These values reside in our hearts and have been formed over our lifetime. Most of us have many values, but only a few, 3 to 5, become our core values. A few examples of values are integrity, family, fairness, personal responsibility, and kindness. And he cites the advice of Peter Drucker, founder of Modern Management, who stated, "Do not knowingly do harm," as a wise proverb to live by. Wood goes on to explain that our core values are formed through the influence of others, including our family and friends, and established through our church, our coaches, or even our neighbors. Where are we at with our moral compass? Do we feel a little lost, as if our moral compass has rusted? Or do we doubt we've even formed a moral compass and can't exactly define our core values, those godly principles that guide our lives? Perhaps we feel as Asaph did when he wrote Psalm 73:2, "But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone." The Wisdom Book of Proverbs is designed to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair, and is intended to give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Where do we find that insight? Solomon's firm, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Indeed, he states directly, "If you plan to do evil, you will be lost. If you plan to do good, you will receive unfailing love and faithfulness." Well, it's likely that none of us directly plan to do evil, but that doesn't mean that we always do good either, does it? Perhaps we feel like the psalmist who wrote, "I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Come," he calls to God, "and find me, for I have forgotten your commands." Thank God, we have a Savior who comes after us, who says, even as he's heading to the cross, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." The prophet Ezekiel assures us of the intention of our good shepherd: "I will search for my lost ones who have strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak." And so Jesus explained his purpose through his parable of the lost sheep. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. To emphasize this point, Jesus goes on in that same chapter of Luke 15 to share about the parable of the lost coin and the lost son. Jesus has come to seek and to save us, to search for us when we are lost, rescue us when we are ensnared, and then carry us home on his shoulder to celebrate our restoration. What then do we do? The instructions Paul gave the Ephesian churches while he was imprisoned in Rome provides a light in our darkness, a moral compass to guide our path. He writes, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you," he writes. "Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled," he goes on, "by those who try to excuse these things, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." And there's one more, beloved. He goes on to say, "Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it said, 'Awake, sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light.' So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, wow! What a feast that is if we partake of it. Imitate God. Live in love, avoid immoral activities of deed or speech, determine what pleases the Lord, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and give thanks. If we settle in our minds what Jesus would do in any given situation, if we would choose to be the people of light and live in the light that he's given us, our moral compass will always point true north to our Savior, the light of the world. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.